Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
What a song. That's Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs with Little Red Riding Hood. It captures all of the kind of sinister allure of that story. Little Red Riding Hood dates back 2,000 years. These days, the story is no longer the bloodbath it once was. A new exhibition at the Ian Potter Museum in Melbourne explores how fairy tales have changed over the centuries. It's called All the Better to See You With, Fairy Tales Transformed, and it features work by local and international artists. Samantha Compt is the curator of the exhibition. Hi, Samantha, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
And Carmel Bird is an Australian author of books for adults and kids and a great connoisseur of fairy stories. Hi, Carmel. Welcome from Bendigo.
Hello. Is that Sarah?
It's me, yes.
Good.
Little
Hello.
Red Riding Hood. We maybe should take on monikers for the purposes of this interview.
I don't think that would be safe.
Which fairy story, which fairy tale character do you most resemble, Carmel, do you think?
That's a twister. I've never thought of it. Somebody really, really nice. No, the good fairy, you know.
For us girls, none of them really turn out too well, do they?
Actually, the traditional ones, it's not so great for the girls. I mean, you get happily ever after, but that just means being married, having kids and dying, you know?
Yeah, we've got to come up with a better ending than that. So, Samantha, given this, given that fairy stories, I mean, we're familiar with them, they're these modern myths in a way, but they can seem so retrograde, so full of sort of antiquated ideas, particularly about women. Why an exhibition on fairy tales now?
Well, actually, I think what was really interesting for me was that a lot of artists and writers are actually addressing that sort of quite antiquated, stereotypical view of fairy tales. So that is actually why I really wanted to address those themes. And actually, it was really interesting you just brought up the idea of, women and how they're portrayed, because we've got this absolutely wonderful work by Paula Rego, which is a real centrepiece of the show called...
She's a Portuguese artist, a wonderful artist. I don't know, we're hearing some strange... That might be like sort of the Big Bad Wolf is whistling to us to follow him into the forest, but we're going to resist that temptation. Nope. He's stopped, you see. The women have spoken back and we've vanquished him with our power. Tell me about the Paula Rego piece, because she's a wonderful artist.
So the Paula Rego piece, we're very lucky to get that from London, and it's actually Little Red Riding Hood suite. And you see Little Red Riding Hood heading off into the forest in the quite traditional way, but then you're confronted by this quite... hilarious looking wolf who's a man dressed in gym gear and a headband in a very sort of 70s outfit. And he talks to Little Red Riding Hood, who's quite a sassy little character with a little red nail polish and quite a lot of attitude. But unfortunately, he does actually eat Little Red Riding Hood and Grandma. But what is great about this particular series of works is that you see the mother come back in, and the mother rarely comes back in Little Red Riding Hood, and she kills the wolf, and unfortunately Little Red Riding Hood and Grandma don't come back, but she kills him with a pitchfork. And then the last work, you see her sitting on a chair with the wolf stole around her neck, looking very pleased with herself. So you see the mother come back in, so revenge. Which is
revenge.
Great.
Revenge. It's so interesting because, of course, some of the reimaginings of that story see the wolf not just as this frightening, dangerous element, but as a kind of a liberating sexual element. I think that's how Angela Carter worked with that story, is that sometimes the wolf represents Little Red Riding Hood's own beastliness, her own danger.
Exactly. I mean, the Angela Carter Company of Wolves is a wonderful story, and that was written in 1979, and I think that's at that point where really there was a whole revision of the fairy tales. And at the end of that, we see Little Red Riding Hood not eaten by the wolf, but she actually seduces the wolf, which is a great ending to that tale.
Carmel, Charles Dickens was a big fan of this story of Red Riding Hood.
He certainly was.
What did he say about it?
Well, he said such a weird thing. He actually wrote that he wanted to marry Little Red Riding Hood, and I've never known quite what to make of that. Was he the hero coming in to save her? Was he the big bad wolf? Who did he think he was? And did he think she was real?
It's a very interesting statement, isn't
it? It is a funny thing to say.
We need to bring in some Freudian analyst to make sense of Charles Dickens wanting to marry Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes.
Did you grow up with fairy tales, Carmel? Were they
in your house
when you were a kid?
Yes. When I was six, I got a birthday gift of the most beautiful volume of Grimm's fairy tales. And you see, there were not so many books for children in the 40s. And so to receive a lovely blue leather volume of stories by Grimm, illustrated by Cruikshank, if people know those black and white illustrations, Cruikshank illustrated a lot of Dickens, you know, those goblin-esque, very detailed lithographs.
They look spooky and eerie.
They're very, very creepy. Even when he's saying, when he's illustrating something sweet, like maybe Cinderella in the coach or something, it still looks creepy.
There's malice everywhere in those drawings.
Yeah.
And what was it that was alluring for you when a kid? Do you remember looking through that book? What was it?
Oh, constantly. And it was actually too hard for me to read because I was only six, and this was grown-up typeface, with no concessions to children. But I determined to master it. So it was a beautiful thing to have, which required great effort on my part. and so it stuck, I guess.
That's wonderful. That's like one of the quest narratives in fairy stories too. You had to work hard for your golden apple.
Yes.
Samantha, do you have any examples of the sort of those wonderful old fairy story books that Carmel's remembering? Do you have anything like that in the exhibition?
We do actually, because the University of Melbourne has a wonderful rare books library. So I was able to access a lot of different fairy tales. It was quite hard to choose. We do have some of the original Grimm fairy tale books. We have Perrault's French fairy tales. We even have some Australian fairy tales from the turn of the century. So we have a number of beautiful ones. We have Japanese fairy tale books as well. So there's quite a diverse range.
You've got some really strange images from contemporary Japanese artists, the Japanese photographer in this exhibition. Tell me about that work.
Yes, Mira Yanagi is a Japanese photographer who's really interested in the representation of women, particularly Japanese women. But for this particular series, she's looked at Western fairy tales, so in particular Grimm, and she's photographed young girls in a very sort of staged type of environment. He picked up on stories like Hansel and Gretel, Arendira, The Little Match Girl, which is a wonderful work. And what she does is she actually places masks over the young girls' faces, and they're masks of older women. So she's really interested in that binary of the old woman and the young woman, or actually the witch and the princess, which is so familiar within all those fairy tales. So you see these very curious images of a young girl with an old face, but you know her limbs are quite young. So she's really interested in exploring that sort of binary opposition.
Carmel, the depiction of older women in fairy stories is pretty universally awful. You know,
yes.
They're witches and they're cruel and they eat children and they cut off hands and they're not to be trusted.
Sometimes there's the odd kind witch. It turns out that she's kind. I can't name a story for you, but they're there.
So what do you think? Are these stories like peeking into our kind of cultural unconscious and all the fears and anxieties we have, or is there something more liberating for us in reading them now?
Well, reading them now, since, as Sarah said, since about 1979 when Angela Carter began revising them and writing such beautiful, entrancing narratives which were going against the old themes. It's clear now that it is possible to mine, as it were, the fairy stories for other perspectives. And to use, it's very interesting, I do this myself, one uses the old narratives and the old understandings of the stories and subverts them and twists them and brings the conclusion that modern culture requires to the fore. And it's very interesting that this exhibition has come at a time when, because of social media and everything, so many people in the world are looking at the relationships between men and women as a power struggle quite specifically in a way that it hasn't happened quite before. Mm. It's very exciting. And I found the exhibition itself was an affirmation of some of these ideas, which, of course, were not quite so current when Samantha put the exhibition together. But she was in the zeitgeist, you see.
It's very canny of you, Samantha, to be aware of this.
Thank you, Carmen.
And I think it's also a sign of great, you know, stories work that can be reimagined by each generation. I mean, that's the mark of a great story, isn't it, that you can take it in so many ways.
Yes.
It's really fascinating to speak with both of you, and I wish I could come and have a look at the exhibition, but it's been almost as good talking to both of you. Thanks, Samantha, and thanks, Carmel. Oh,
thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
And you can read Carmel Bird's wonderful opening address to this exhibition. There's a link at our website at Books and Arts Online. And Samantha Compt is the curator of Fairy Tales Transformed, All the Better to See You With. It's on at the Ian Potter Museum of Art in Melbourne until March.